To believe in one's dreams is to spend all of one's life asleep. This is the Goat Kicker X Podcast. Welcome to episode 5 of the Goat Kicker X podcast. You know, I saw something at my daughter's school that really bummed me out. And for those of you who have followed Goat Kicker in the past, you'll know that I got my substitute teacher's license. And one of my gigs that I had as a substitute when I was having time to do it and before COVID made it impossible to manage, I helped with what the kids call the behavioral room. It's a classroom where they put the kids that have attention and behavior problems, and they have a teacher that's especially tuned in and trained and has godlike patience to help get these kids as much as they can out of the school experience during the hours that they're at school. And things are ugly sometimes in that room. They have a closet that has padding in it, and it's well lit. It is a part of the design of the school. It's not something that the teacher just put together as punishment. It's got a window in it so the adults can keep an eye on the kid to kind of help them cool down when things get a little too violent and a little too physical. It's got different layout to the room. They have kind of a different flow. They let kids have more freedom. You'll hear every swear word in the book. Sometimes there's a lot of physical contact that is basically still uncalled for, but it happens a lot more frequently than it would in a regular classroom. It's just an eye-opening experience. And as we walk past that room that I've served in before, I noticed something that looked like it was made out of the same material that a bumbo chair is made out of. If you're a parent, you probably got suckered into buying a bumbo chair, even though kids hate them. It's a little foam and plastic seat that holds a baby upright when they're maybe not muscular enough to hold themselves upright. So they can sit up and be a real people like everybody else. And it's a fun thing to put on your baby registry. And the company has a tray that you can snap on there so that it's almost like a miniature high chair. It can't fall over. It can't tip. It's got nowhere to go. It's soft. They can't hurt themselves. If they bite it, it doesn't hurt anything. It's basically Nerf furniture for an infant. But they had these shields that were made out of that. They look like riot shields or tower shields if you're a fantasy dork like I am. And I realized immediately as we walked past it on the way to my daughter's conferences what they were. They're designed to put a safety device between the child and an adult, so that they can corral a violent kid and keep the kids safe so they're not striking against like some solid wood or something, and keep the adults safe so they're not being the recipient of the bites and scratches and punches and kicks that are a part of the American public school system anymore. And it also creates sort of a barrier of integrity to where there's no question if someone used excessive force or manhandled or a chokehold or something on the kid, because I would assume just by looking at the function of these things that they're intended entirely just to put up as a barrier. There's no hands reaching around or through or over. It's just, you can't hit me, I can't grab you, and it's going to keep us both safe and both keep us both out of trouble until cooler heads prevail or we get control of this situation. And it really bummed me out to see that that's even something that needs to exist. That's nothing I've ever seen before, not in my years of being in school, not in my years of being a parent of kids that are in school, and I've never even seen one when I've substitute taught before. So it was a very, very interesting thing. And to look down at those implements as we walked by, and in the 5 seconds it took my brain to process what it was, it really disappointed me. It made me think about what has happened in our country, what has happened in our public schools, what has happened with our genetics and our psychology and our nature and our nurture that have made these sorts of things necessary now when they weren't necessary when little Carl had Pac-Man fever. And it wasn't that I was blind to things going on in my classroom. I mean, we always had a naughty kid or two, but not at this level and not at this quantity. Something has changed in our parenting style, in our expectations, in our presentation, again, in our genetics, in our emotional health. Something has changed in our society. Some people would say it's in our diet. Maybe the medicines that mom's taking, dad's taking, kids are taking, something. Something has changed. And these things are a necessity now. And as interesting as all that is, and as much as I'd love to dig into that and try to get to something that makes some sort of sense, it's the last thing in the world I wanted to talk about. So I thought this week, this episode, episode 5 of the Goat Kicker X podcast, I would introduce something that I swore I would never do, and that is have a guest host on Goat Kicker. In the past, you guys know that if I can't pick up a phone and record and hit stop and edit it at my leisure from my phone, which means barely at all, and just assemble a podcast and publish it without hardly any effort or needing to take extra time out of my day at my computer or any extra equipment that I have to either buy or plug in or learn how to use, that I won't do it. That's not how Goat Kicker works. Goat Kicker is spontaneous. Goat Kicker is impromptu. It's improv. And it's a stream of consciousness. Sometimes I delete a whole segment and do it again. But basically everything that comes out of my mouth ends up on the tape. And I wanted my co-host to be put to that same standard. And so we're using a feature on Anchor where if you have the Anchor app downloaded and you follow the show, I can invite you to join my audio feed. And it will record our conversation as if you're in the room with me with headphones on and big fancy microphones sitting in front of us and a four-track recorder between us where we're playing with the crossfade and the levels. It's a neat feature, and I plan to take advantage of it from here on out. And Eddie is on my first episode featuring a guest host. And what we're doing is him and I are sitting down and pulling up a random question from an app I downloaded and just kind of letting our brains work the way that they do. A little background for those of you who may not know Eddie Fossler. Eddie Fossler is a content creator extraordinaire. He can sing, he can cook, he can dance, he is a thinker, he's not afraid to dig a little bit deeper into the philosophical side of life, he's a father, and he's an amazing friend. And he's one of those friends that I got from my nerd super family. Someone that we just happened to have tables next to each other at the first annual Comic Con here, the Omaha Comic Con in Council Bluffs, Iowa. We had met each other there. He was cosplaying as Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy. We chit-chatted. We both had interest in podcasts. He had a podcast at the time that was already up and running, the Doug and Eddie Show, I believe is what it was called. And he has been dedicated to podcasting and been involved with multiple podcasting projects at one time, even founding the Podcast Arcade Network, which was a loose collaboration of several podcasts that tried to help cross-promote each other and do some civic things and some fun projects such as some audio dramas at the holidays and so on. So Eddie is no stranger to talking on a podcast. And Eddie is no stranger to rambling on about various topics with me. And so we thought we would share those moments prompted by a random question that pops up on an app on my phone. And we'll record it and put it on the Goat Kicker the way that it came out of our mouths. So I hope you enjoy it. There's going to be more of this. For those of you out here there that are so inclined, I would encourage you to download the Anchor app and follow me and let me know if you're interested in being on the show. And we'll start having some different voices and some different conversations as part of the Goat Kicker podcast. I'd love to involve all my friends. If anything has become more important to me after the turd of a year of 2020, is my friends matter more to me more than anything. And in the relationships that we've built around all this detritus, these Funko Pops, these Lego sets, these comic books, these movies, none of that stuff matters. The relationships we make around those things are what matters. And I hope you get a little taste of that from me and Eddie's conversation. So without further ado, here is the first guest host ever on the Goat Kicker podcast, Eddie Fossler.
Carl?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh my goodness.
This might work. Well, let's keep it kind of short and sweet, and hopefully we can do this kind of regularly.
This is exciting.
It is exciting.
I've been taking a unintentional/intentional hiatus from...
I know what those are like.
The whole I'm preaching to the gosh darn choir. I it's weird because I've felt it and I haven't felt it at the same time. It's so hard to describe.
Right.
Like there's times I legit miss it. I'm like, oh man. And the other times I'm like, I don't.
Sometimes a man's just got a podcast and a boiling in him.
That's just it. And it's like, if anything, I think what it is I've just kind of the formats or lack thereof. Or I don't even know. I think some of the shows just got to go, I think, honestly.
Yeah. But that was why I kind of never came back to it quicker than I did, especially all last year when I had nothing but time. There are so many podcasts and it's just an energy sink.
It kind of is. And I just, if anything, it's a weird thing where it's kind of like trying to catch a ball that's running away from you. You kind of want to just stop running and let the ball just kind of
right.
Let it fly into the street. I just Paranormal Dads, I haven't had that feeling about with the other ones. It's almost like, you know, they've almost reached like their maturation points almost. At least as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's a pretty mature way to look at these, though. I mean, there's a point when you're just like, do I need to record another episode of me watching a movie and responding to it? Or do I need to do another unboxing video? Or, you know,
that's just it. You know,
yeah.
How many more people need to see, you know, middle-aged white dudes freak out over a thing that they watch? Yeah, you know, I don't know.
You know, when you and I started doing the He-Man podcast originally, I kept thinking, there's no way we'll ever stop doing this because it'll take us forever to get through all the characters and everything. But, you know, as you and Jeff found out, it doesn't take that long.
No, it doesn't. And the problem with that kind of thing, too, is like, and I can speak, this is where you can hear this and not get offended or like hurt. But it's like there's almost like the expectation of, because when people like something, they honestly, you know, they obviously kind of want more of it, you know?
Right.
But then again, after a bit, you're kind of like, I don't know, I'm kind of done talking about it, you know?
It's like the Oliver Twist thing, huh? Like the more.
Exactly. Please, sir. May I have some more?
Yeah, we switched sides. We were the waif before, but now we're the grizzled old stew slinger. However you say that, stew slinger.
Stew slinger, yeah. The gruel chucker.
That's gruel chucker is easier to say.
So, what's that?
I was going to say, you want me to fire up one of these random questions?
Let's do it, man.
And for those of you who will get to hear this on the Goat Kicker podcast on the next episode, this is Eddie Fossler of Omaha, Nebraska. Say hi, Eddie.
Hi, guys.
Eddie is more internet famous than I am. And so I don't need to introduce him, really. But him and I have a pretty good friendship based semi around podcasting, right?
Yeah, that's kind of where... I mean, certainly creative, you know, output, but the podcasting is kind of what allowed you and I to start talking and communicating more consistently.
And then our love outgrew the bounds of podcasting.
Exactly. You know,
so I wanted to, if I came back to Goat Kicker on my own terms, which is the only way I'll ever do a podcast, I did want to start involving other people, but I did not want to buy multiple mics and a mixer and all that. And Anchor has this cool feature. I'm going to try to get some people involved. And Eddie is definitely someone I want to have on regularly. So him and I usually have pretty good conversations without any sort of prompt. But that would be hour-long shows in and of itself, which might be interesting someday. But for now, we're going to pull some random questions off this app I downloaded, if I can do it without crashing Anchor. And I'll just put it to Eddie, and we'll try one or two and try to keep this short so we can do it while we're on the clock.
I kind of love this concept of random questions just tossed right at us.
You say that, but let's wait and see what this thing pops up. I haven't played with it much, so it's letting me record like on the other apps, so that's pretty cool. All right, question number one for my BFF Eddie. What makes a house into a home?
There you go, right out of the gate.
Yeah, well, let's just punch the gut from minute one.
Right in the beans, right out of the gate. That's like walking in your first day of school and the bully runs right by and just punches you right in the village right there.
Yeah, you know, the first day in college and the teacher's saying, like, you might as well just learn how to push a broom because you're never going to learn anything you can market.
Exactly. Like, they're like, write down your hopes and dreams and turn them in, and you do, and you just see them rip it in half right in front of you.
And then eat that piece of paper.
No, eat it. Eat it, you stupids. You're paying money for this. You know, I recently moved into a new home. I will say that now. And so that's a fair question. And I'll just put this out there. I've decidedly made a conscientious effort as someone who is, as Carl put it, internet famous. I don't know how real that is, but I am going through, actually going through is probably not a right word. I am divorced. It's a new development in my life. It's something I didn't see coming. But also
2020, y'all.
What's that?
It's 2020, y'all.
It's 2020, the year that just keeps on taking. But yeah, I was married 20 years and then, you know, very quickly, found out that my marriage was over. And I hit a point recently, maybe only the past couple of months, where my therapist had even said, like, I think you're going to hit a point. And a good friend of mine, Mr. Al Garrison, had said, I think you're going to hit a point in your life where you might start seeing this as a blessing and not a curse. And that time has come, you know. And as trite and played out as it sounds, sometimes it's a weird thing where the thing that you thought you didn't ever want to do without, and when life or whatever removes it from you, it kind of gives you this chance to kind of look at yourself from a very real perspective. But in that mindset, in that heart set, I sold the old house and moved into this new home. And yeah, I guess I had that kind of ponderance upon this, because when did this new place turn into a home for me? And I guess without adding much more time to that answer, I think honestly it is the people, the memories in it. You know, the intention behind it is everything, I think. You know, you certainly could have a home could be a yurt in the backyard, or a Tupperware bin turned upside down. Honestly, it's like it's what happens within those walls, I think, and the thoughts and the intentions and the emotions that are shared amongst the people in it. I've had several houses in my life, and I've had several instances of home as well. So that's my hard answer on that one, I would say.
And not to share too much about your personal life that you don't offer up, but you come from a military background as far as when you were a kid.
Yeah.
So home has a different meaning for like a military family than it does the rest of us normies, right? Like,
Yeah.
So you either carry home on your back or you're forever in search of home, right?
Yeah, I really feel like, I mean, as much as it's, like I said, you see this on, like, you know, these cute little placards on people's walls, but it really is a thing you carry in your heart. It really is. Because if you were tied to a physical geographical location as home, and you're moving every 3 years, you're setting yourself up for some trauma, you know?
Right.
And so
a reoccurring trauma, right? And that's what a lot of people, I think, go through in that situation, where you don't put down roots, but, you know, you have to define, you know, what are those roots I'm trying to put down? Is it, you know, a picket fence that I get to see the rest of my life, or is there more to it than that, you know?
Exactly. And I think, in a way, and I can only speak from my perspective because I don't have anything else, but if anything, it makes you, and I'm not saying that this happens to everybody, but in my case, it made me kind of really self-aware, I guess, about who I was, you know, like what's important to me versus what do you hold on to kind of loosely, you know?
My in-laws recently moved, and it's been a couple of years now, a few years actually. And they lived in the same house my wife's entire life. And so,
yeah,
you know, 40 years plus, you know.
Wow.
And there was crap in that house that should have been thrown away literal decades ago. And yeah. I can't speak. I mean, I've got stuff in this house I need to get rid of. But, you know, when your home becomes just a place for you to store stuff that you're cycling through, you know, that's a house. But yeah. Like you said, a home is like definitely more in the intent, right? More of the feel. I, you know, not to duplicate your answers too much, you know, but I've always thought of this from like an anthropological viewpoint, is can people feel a connection to the land they live on? Is there a part of the country, is there a locale that you feel is home? And I think there is. I think there's definitely a sense of that. And, you know, and for me, it's unfortunately here in Council Bluffs, Iowa, but I also feel at home out in Colorado, you know, at the base of the mountains there. I'm not a mountain person, but, you know, we used to live in Colorado when I was a kid, and I lived there for a little bit as an intern, and I feel at home there. It's like your soul kind of feels at rest.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to define, but this house, as happy as I am to have it, and, you know, it's a bigger house than maybe I thought that I would ever live in. And it's not a big house by any means. It's just bigger than what my parents raised three kids in.
Sure.
But I could do without this house. Like, if we had to move across town tomorrow, I don't know if I would be sad about leaving. I'd be more sad about having to pack, I think.
Yeah.
But there are elements of this house that make it a home. And I think it's the presence of my kids and things that we do inside these many walls here. So, yeah, that's an interesting question because, you know, it's one of those trite things like, home is where the heart is, blah, 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 you know. But, you know, when you stop and think about it, like, am I coming home from work or am I coming to a house after work, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And exactly. I think you see life a lot more clearly when you kind of can look at things that way.
Well, and it's funny you talk about the stuff that accumulates too, because like, you know, as you have mentioned, you know, in the previous house, especially, I had a dedicated room that was dedicated to podcasting, and it was decorated with all the trappings and accoutrement of the nerd. In reducing my expenses, and, you know, when families go their separate ways, like mine has, the funny part about it is you kind of recalibrate and look at the things that you air quote need versus the things that you kind of wanted. And it's so funny how, like, you could experience an event. I don't want to say trauma. It could even be a good event, but you could experience a life-altering thing that almost changes the way you look at the trappings around your home, you know?
Certainly.
And so, like, things that I would have assigned a certain amount of, I don't want to say value to, but a certain amount of, like, you look at some stuff that you have maybe sitting around and you're like, oh, that thing brings me a modicum of joy, you know? and then you go through said life-changing event, and then all of a sudden you see that item in an entirely different light.
Right. It's either got a price tag on it, or it's another thing that can be packed and put away and not missed, or something that in the zombie apocalypse would have no value whatsoever. You know?
Oh, that's exactly it. And you use the zombie apocalypse as an appropriate, I mean, I'm sitting here like, I just don't have the same feelings for some of these physical items anymore. And it's not those items' fault. It's no one's nothing. It's just sometimes your lenses change a little bit. And so in the long view, you're more interested in, at least in my case, and this isn't necessarily an argument for the whole like simplifying your life necessarily, but for me, it felt kind of good to reassess, redecorate, if you will, and kind of recategorize things that really don't need to occupy a bunch of physical space in my home. You know,
for you at this point in your life, that's what it is, you know, and that's kind of what I'm always on about on Goat Kickers, about how nerd culture is like this cargo cult that we amass Funko Pops and hardcovers of our favorite comic book runs and books and movies and video games and posters. And that's fine. It's not a judgment on those things, but there's a point in some of our lives where we grow beyond it and we wonder, what is it all about? Why have we wasted all this space and this money and this time and this resource? And I think you and I have been in the same position that I have a little corner of the basement that has my stuff in it. If I don't go to that corner in the basement, that stuff doesn't exist. It's like Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
And if I walk down there and said, oh, look at those fancy books. And if I notice that there's a couple like, oh, I don't have all of that series, or I don't have all of this. But if I don't see it, if I'm not walking through it, it's dead to me.
Exactly.
And therefore, it's not necessary for my life. And so I wonder, why do I even have it? Why haven't I switched to digital copies of books? Or, you know, why do I have all these movies I'll never have free time enough to watch, you know?
Right.
And that does not make a home. The man cave, the nerd cave, the shelf porn, for you and I, in the places we're at in our lives, we somehow achieved our next level of evolution by realizing that we need to get rid of that crap and quit amassing it, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'll speak plain too. It's like, I did go through a deep reduction of, and, you know, and kind of what you were getting at originally, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a handful of things. I have this Smokey and the Bandit Funko that I think is amazing. Cause it's Smokey.
And also, I'm harder than anybody on Funkos, and I swear to God, I'd never buy one. And I currently own like 8.
Yeah.
And they weren't all gifts. So.
Right. But on the flip side, and so for me, it's like, and I'm, this is once again, me speaking for me. It's like when I got dropped to my knees with a life hit, like I said, that I didn't necessarily see coming. What happened for me at least was everything got drawn into a sharp contrast where right then and there, and then for the next several months, all my life really could sustain was things that were important or sustaining me, you know? And those things were literally, I thought it was so funny. It was literally reading, music, friends, and family, you know?
And right.
It's like I didn't have the energy to even watch a television. I just didn't have the attention span for it. And so I would start, and skateboarding.
Yeah.
And so.
Let's save that for another segment, but yeah, the skateboarding, man.
Yeah. And so what I noticed was, like you said, I didn't go downstairs and sit amongst my He-Man figures. You know, I didn't cuddle with my Battle Cat in my bed at night. I didn't stare at Castle Grayskull and relive fond memories. In fact, if anything, for me, they kind of took on a whole new kind of almost like a still, I still cared. I still had fond memories of them, but in a way I almost felt a beckoning of like, I needed to kind of move forward into this new phase.
Right.
So yeah.
The nostalgia of it and the maybe the possession of it. I mean, it just kind of depends on what your hang up is, but it represents almost like an anchor, you know, something that's like keeping you moored in place and like,
yeah,
able to move forward, man. Yeah. And like, if nerds can do anything well, it's not move forward in their lives, you know?
Well, and that was exactly it. In a way, I almost was thinking that a lot of this nostalgia stuff for me was, in a way of my almost emotional self that was aware that maybe there was some sort of deficit in going on in my life, that was a way for me to kind of almost distract myself emotionally from what I was, I'm going to put air quotes, psychically sensing that may have been wrong in my life.
And sure. That's your Linus's blanket was
exactly
watching old Family Ties episodes or whatever.
Exactly. And like I said, I still do enjoy these things. I mean, I purchased as a Christmas gift for myself, a movie poster puzzle, 1,000-piece puzzle of the 1984 animated Transformers movie.
nice.
But like for me, once again, it's like those things in the right compartments do the right thing. And this is only for me, but coming back to home, it just, in moving into this new home, it felt good to kind of simplify and only have things displayed that felt like they represented a deeper root, if you will, to kind of, you know, what represented home to me in that sense.
Yeah, outstanding. Well, we'll keep it to one question this time. We fiddled around at the beginning. This is about the right length we wanted to do.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
I like it.
All right. Well, Goad Kicker audience is you're probably like 1/10 of the Goad Kicker audience. So as long as you can handle the sound of your own voice, I'll be doing all right.
I actually have learned to re-love the sound of my voice. I went through a period
absolutely
of self-hatred.
Absolutely. I'm my own biggest fan for sure. So I just want to close out with a little anecdote here regarding this whole concept of filling your house with stuff and not making it a home. Eddie and I sort of hit similar waves at the same time at multiple parts of our friendship, and it's kind of uncanny actually, but there were early on in Goad Kicker, the conversation was kind of calling into question the need to possess all these toys and all this stuff. And I remember, you know, not judging people and you try to be friendly. I knew that Eddie was really into Transformers and we were kind of getting into this 80s nostalgia wave and kind of exploring our childhoods in the context of that stuff. And I was at Pop Culture Exchange and I saw a set of the original Dinobots. And I remember sending Eddie a picture of it and saying, dude, look what they have there. And you were like, bro, those were mine. I sold those to them. So
exactly.
So that's sort of kind of what's been going on in me and Eddie's life in a nutshell. We both kind of had a good laugh about that. And as far as I know, he didn't buy them back, right?
No, I didn't.
I don't think I've bought back anything that I've sold since I've started Goad Kicker. I mean, I've done that before in my life, but
yeah.
I've
not bought anything back that I've sold. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. It did change a lot of my approach to some things. In fact, I won't get into all the specifics, but upon my moving, I had sold a handful of these Masters of the Universe Classics figures because right. once again, like you said, your vision kind of changes a bit. And so I'm like, I don't need these, you know? And one of them was not necessarily an inexpensive figure. And instead of selling it, I chose to give it to someone because I knew that giving it to this particular person would have been far more meaningful than had I, you know, tried to recoup some cost out of it. So it just
right.
attaching some meaning back to it was more, I think, beneficial for me and that person and the universe than it was trying to, you know, scare up a few bucks out of it.
Yeah. We got an extra buck on eBay. So
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's all a big Jenga game and whatever falls away, you don't need whatever's less stable on the table when it's all said and done, that's home.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what we're trying to figure out. And exactly. I think with your podcast in mind, we have similar approaches, although they're different podcasts, but you know, I think we're both kind of seeking that same thing. So Eddie, yep. thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for making time. And I'll be hitting you up like weekly, if that's all right with you.
It's fine with me, man. It's always a good time on the Goad Kicker.
All right. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
One of the most enjoyable things in life, in a negative way, is when you know something about a topic. When you're an expert in your own right, if it's something you've had experience with, if you had formal training, it's been a part of your personal lifestyle, you have like what we consider like primary source knowledge of something. And you're in a room with someone who is fronting, someone who is running their mouth, talking about this topic as if they have that similar inside knowledge, speaking like an authority, but you can tell that they don't, because either they're saying things that are wildly incorrect, or you just know better. And there's like this little satisfaction in you. And you have to kind of make a decision, because if you're a classy person, there's ways you can handle it with tact. You can correct them if you're the fact-checking kind of person in a polite but stern way. You can let it go because you realize maybe it's not that big of a deal. You don't have to be right. You have to give other people the chance to flex their baloney detector muscle and just trust that people can smell a phony. But it's tough because sometimes being the loud, most opinionated person in a room draws a crowd, and it's popular. And I've been around those people, and those people exist in large populations inside of Nerd Hobbies. They're the person that always has a little bit more insight or knows a little bit more background. Like a walking Wikipedia entry. But they're missing something. They're missing, again, that primary involvement in that topic. And sometimes you maybe aren't an expert yourself, but you know enough to keep your own mouth shut. And so those times are almost more aggravating, because you're like, him and I are in the same boat, but I'm smart enough to keep my mouth shut and not talk about these things with that sort of certainty if I don't know 100% with that certainty. And even then, who wants to be that guy? One of the things that age brings with it, though, is one of two things. Either you become more combative and you become the old man that yells at clouds, or you become more passive and there's a little voice in you that just says, let it go, man. Just let it go. The funny thing for me is I lean more and more and more on the let it go. I note it. I see it. I judge the person doing it. So I'm not completely cool yet, right? Because I'm still holding that grudge. I'm still saying, what a moron. But I'm okay to let it roll. Even when they're correcting me on something that I know that I'm correct about, or giving me their opinion disguised verbally as fact on something that they don't really have any expertise in, I'll let it go. You just kind of grin and nod. I'm not a confrontational person when it comes to that anymore. Because first of all, as they say, life is just too short. And second of all, I've just learned that we all have this experience, this outlook. And we're sort of trapped in that outlook. And a lot of us like to think like, well, I'm a well-read person, or I'm an empathetic person. I try to put myself in other people's shoes. I try to read about the experiences of other people. I try to really listen so that I can see people. But a lot of that's just bullshit, because we're all kind of stuck in these boxes that we're kind of limited. We're limited by factors we're not always aware of. And you can try to become more and more and more self-aware and self-actualized and aware of the world around you. And that's sort of what living is all about, is gathering all those experiences, all those opinions, to listening to other human beings and trying to define yourself from eyeballs outside of your own body. And that is a good and noble mission. That is a thing worth spending your life on. But we'll never really fully know. We'll really never fully know who we are outside of our own experience, outside of our own selves. We can't dissociate. It's the hippie dream, isn't it? To be able to somehow remove yourself from your complete understanding of reality and see things as they are. And if you can't see things as they are, to see them at least from a completely detached vantage point. But you can't do that. And so when I see this guy or this woman railing about a topic with the utmost certainty, maybe a little piss and vinegar, even if it's something that makes me angry, even if it's about something that I hold dear in my life and I know better, or that challenges me specifically on a choice or a taste that I have, I just let it go, because that's that person's life. That's their view, and they got to figure it out on their own. Unless they're saying something that is derogatory to someone else with the intent to hurt them or belittle them, if they're not trying to actively hurt my family, if they're just running their mouth and looking like a horse's ass, then that's fine. They have every right in the world to be a horse's ass. If they want to be a 44-year-old man trying to explain someone red in the face, spit flying from their mouth, about why Kylo Ren actually is a very strong character in the tradition of Star Wars and why people are wrong about those movies being terrible, if that's what they want to dedicate themselves to, by all means, go for it. It's not my hill to die on. And one of the real blessings with getting to that point into your life, when you realize what life is about, when you realize the limitations of your own experience, when you realize it's okay to let other people hang themselves by whatever noose they decide to fashion, and realizing that you're hanging yourself by some sort of noose that you may not be aware of, one of the blessings that comes along with that knowledge is it frees you from triviality. I care so much less about so much more than I ever have in my entire life. Things just roll off me now that used to really grind my gears. I just don't care. And it seems like that's the antithesis of being a Christian or being a person of faith or being a loving member of this society. Because we've lied to ourselves and have told ourselves that caring is the most important thing in the world, that you have to believe, you have to care. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to care. You're not required to care. There are very few things that you're called to care about. And if you find yourself with a struggling faith, if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, then one of those things that you're supposed to care about is taken off the table. But you're supposed to love one another as yourselves. And at least do what the doctors do and do no harm, right? And if these things become your mission statement, those are really the only things you have to care about. I need to care about how my neighbor is doing. I need to be aware of the fact that she has an elderly mother and a busy career of her own, and they're not from a place that typically gets snow the way that Iowa does. And it doesn't kill me to run my snowblower an extra 4 minutes to clear their snow. I can care for those people, even if those people disagree with me on some fundamental level, which they do not, by the way. They're really sweet people. But I'm called to care for those people. I am not required to care about Star Wars or Disney or COVID vaccines or representation in the movies, or if all the hubbub about Wonder Woman is manufactured because we're so scared to look like Neanderthals publicly, when in actuality we've made a mountain out of a molehill regarding the representation of female examples in the media for girls to look up to, that we've kind of been duped into thinking that's what it's about, while some fat white guy just counts money in an office somewhere. We're not required to care about those things or get into argument about those things. I have opinions. Lord knows if you corner me and ask me about any of these topics or any other nerd topic that I would have an opinion about it. But deep down in my little gray heart, I don't care anymore. What I do care about is trying to be a better person. I care about being real about my misgivings, about nerd culture, and about my own life, hoping that other people will kind of face their own lives in that same honesty. Maybe I'll help someone out, maybe not. Maybe I'm completely wrong. But I would be upset if I felt like there was someone out there who felt trapped into caring about all this nonsense to a degree that it doesn't deserve, that it hasn't earned, that it was never really meant to acquire. We've been socially engineered. If I can put my conspiracy theories hat on. And I think it's been quite by accident, but much like in the way that dog breeds that exist today just sort of happened through selective breeding and through positive reinforcement of certain traits that have completely removed them from the ability to survive in the wild in any appreciable way. That they used to be wolves and now they're chihuahuas. I don't mean that literally, but you understand where I'm going with this. That we've been socially engineered in that same way. We've been selectively bred. Our thoughts, our outlooks, our values. And it hasn't been all puppet master orchestration. Some of us all just ran towards the same shiny object, and someone thought, if we can get to that shiny object first, we can charge admission. And then someone else thought, well, hell, if I can make a shiny object similar to that one, they'll run to that one too. And we all followed right along. I would like to see a movement. If I was going to be responsible for anything on this podcast, is a movement within nerd culture to stop caring about that stuff. To stop fighting, to being the gatekeeper, the explainer. To stop being the person cornering somebody at a at a party and trying to explain to them why the Dune movie was actually superior to the Dune novel. And that if you actually look at the numbers, it wasn't the failure that people like to say that it is. We need to stop caring about this stuff. We're not required to. We're not really built to. There's other stuff to care about. There was a Super Bowl commercial this year that I think had the right spirit and terrible execution. It was one of the alcohol companies. I think it was Anheuser-Busch. And the whole concept is when you ask someone to go get a beer with you, it's not about the beer. It's about the companionship. It's about the acknowledgement that someone's had a hard day or that you have a hard task in front of you, but let's at least make the most of it by having a cold beer while we deal with it. Or I'm sorry that that thing happened to you. I see you as a human being and I'm aware of your emotions, of your feelings, of your hardships. The least I can do is buy you a cold beer. The execution was really bad because the assumption there is that alcohol is the answer at all times, that it's the social lubricant that needs to be in place for these sorts of transactions to take place. And I don't like the situation that it sets up for people who abstain from alcohol for different reasons, whether it be religious, whether it be alcoholism that they're dealing with, or alcoholism in their family, or compulsions. I don't like that it becomes this temptation and this assumption that you're not normal if you don't indulge, or can't indulge, or refuse to indulge, or shouldn't indulge. Matter of fact, there were a lot of alcohol commercials during the Super Bowl, and I have some opinions about that too. And that is something I might maybe care a little bit about, but only because I care about people and I care about their health. Alcoholism is probably no worse than compulsive collecting. And I'm sure that would come back and haunt me if I had to quantify it. But where I was going with this is that the notion of that commercial was actually pretty valid. That sometimes the presence of one person making themselves available to another isn't about necessarily what's going on at that time or the activity that they're invited to partake or sitting down and listening to what they have to say. That it's more than just that momentary event. That it's about being human. It's about realizing that that's another thinking, breathing, living thing with their own hopes and desires and shortcomings and fears. That vulnerability that it is to be human and acknowledging that. And again, to fall back on a concept we talked about on a prior Goad Kicker, realizing that everybody is a player character in this game, that you aren't the antagonist player character and everyone else is an NPC that just either stands in your way or is there to help you achieve your grand side quests. And I like that message. I like the message that beer company was trying to put forward. But the execution was all wrong. But it stands as a good example of what I'm ranting about here as I close out this episode. I'm not on this earth to care about beer. But I am on this earth to care about people. To care about perspective. To care about using whatever I have within me to better the lives of people around me when I can find a way to do it. And if it's buying someone a taco and sitting down and having a chat, then so be it. It's been an interesting episode. We had a guest host. I ranted about a beer commercial. I told people it's okay not to care. I'd say this is a 9 out of 10 for a Goat Kicker episode, which puts it roughly at a 3 out of 10 for most podcasts. But you guys have come to expect it, and by golly, I'm going to keep delivering that same level of mediocre quality. I hope you guys are having a decent week. I know that some of you who are fans of this show have had some rough patches lately. And there's those of you out in the Goat Kicker audience, which isn't very big, that have had to deal with some heavy life stuff in the last week or two. And it's the Goat Kicker way to maybe not necessarily say thoughts and prayers, but I honestly mean it. I think about my friends who are hurting quite a bit. And I pray for my friends because that's who I am as a person. And I don't say that I do if I don't. And I wouldn't do it if I didn't think that there was some reason to do it, if there wasn't some result to be expected. But the important thing is that I acknowledge the fact that other people having a pretty rough patch. And I spend a lot of time stressing myself out, trying to think of a way that I can help make that better in some small way. I wish I could fix it altogether. And there's a handful of things that keep me awake at night, and that's one of them, is this wishing I could rescue my friends from whatever is burdening them and trying to think of a way to help with that. And more often than not, I'm kind of bummed out because I don't have a way. I can't solve other people's problems. I can't even solve my own problems. All I can do is offer my friendship and my thoughts and my prayers. But I hope that you guys out there who aren't hurting are paying attention to the people in your circles, in your super families, in your tribes. And if they're going through a patch right now of disappointment or heartache or a setback in some way, which seems to be just a normal feature of adult living, that whatever your stand-in for beer is, offer to meet with that person for a beer. Shoot them an email. Shoot them a Facebook message. Call them up on the phone. Pick them up and go get a burger. Do something to make yourself available to that person who's in need. And if you're blessed in some way that can help them solve that issue, what are you waiting for? Dig deep, friends. And instead of sending that 10% to the Church of Goat Kicker, send it to the woman who needs to pay her rent. Send it to your friend who suddenly was audited from the IRS and has a tax bill they can't pay. Or, use it to send treats to an office place that you know is especially beat up right now for whatever reason. Lack of business. Limited access to customers because of COVID. Do something positive with whatever you own within you, whatever resources you have, whatever talents you have. That's what you're supposed to care about. And that's what I, as Goat Kicker, Goat Kicker X, that's what I care about. I'm getting to where I can't name everyone who's downloading the show, and that's a good problem. Because I have a very small social circle, so if I can name everybody who's downloading the show, that means it's less than 10 people. So it's nice to see the show growing a little bit, and if you're hearing this for the first time, this is pretty much as good as the show gets. Maybe that's debatable, but that's what this show is all about. Sometimes it's a little more topical, sometimes it's just rants. Today it was just a rant. I hope you enjoyed having Eddie on the show. We're going to try to do some more live guests in the future. They'll be fun. I'll try not to make them all the same format because that would get a little boring. And I really don't want it to become a shtick. I want it to become something natural and something organic that makes use of the personalities involved rather than kind of forcing them into a mold. I hope you all have a great week. And I'm excited to see whatever ways that some of us can win this week. If you win in any way, let me know. I love hearing it. I literally rejoice in the triumphs of my friends. I wish it was more often. And if you guys are all winning constantly and just not telling me about it because you're afraid of making me feel bad, please don't do that to me. It's literally the best part of my week, is hearing my friends find some success in some way. Even if it's just getting your first Fortnite win this season. Dude, let's celebrate it. Let's celebrate it. Remember not to care this week about the wrong stuff, and remember to care about the right stuff. Take care of yourselves out there. Until next time, take it easy.